Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention. When behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You already know what I'm going to preach about. In this Jubilee year, of course, mercy is supposed to influence everything that the Church does. And mercy is a prism through which we can look at the life of St. Joseph. And St. Joseph's life is a commentary on divine mercy. And so as we celebrate this feast in this extraordinary Jubilee year, we open ourselves up to this twofold relationship, so that we, through God's mercy, might come to know St. Joseph more deeply and open ourselves up to his help, so that through St. Joseph we might receive more fruitfully the mercy he used to hold in his strong arms. I'd like to give 7 points about St. Joseph and mercy. First is that St. Joseph was a recipient of the mercy of the Lord. He was a sinner like us all, and hence he needed to grow up needy of what his foster son would eventually bring into the world. But he grew up with faith, trusting in the Lord. You know, it was said about Abraham in today's second reading, which we heard, two things that could be said very clearly about St. Joseph. First, he was a just man, as St. Matthew tells us today. He was righteous. He was on right relationship with the Lord precisely because of his faith. It wasn't because of his merit, stricte dicta. It was because he opened himself up to the word of the Lord in faith that has the power to make us all just. Just like Abraham followed the Lord, so Joseph followed the Lord. And in this way, Joseph, like Abraham, became the father of many nations, because he is the father, in a sense, of Jesus. He's the father-in-law of the bride of Christ. He's the father of the body, the foster father of the mystical body of Christ. And so he's got a similar relationship to us. Do we open ourselves up to that type of affiliation? We also see in St. Joseph God's mercy in selecting him. There would have been lots of more famous descendants of King David alive at that time who could have given Jesus other things. Instead, chose a hard-working, diligent carpenter who had to leave his livelihood, who had to purchase 2 pigeons rather than a lamb to redeem the Lamb of God in the temple. But nevertheless, St. Joseph was rich in the one thing that really mattered, the merciful love of the Lord. Because he had so lavishly received that gift, he was then able to share it. If we're going to look at any saint, including the Blessed Virgin, who preveniently received the Lord's gift of mercy, we always begin by what they had been given, because what they gave out was always a direct response to the generosity with which they had received that divine gift. Second instance of Saint Joseph's mercy is how he treated the Blessed Mother. Because he was a just man, he wanted to live the fullness of the law. And as we know, God desires mercy, not the sacrifice of anyone. And even though he was probably more crushed than any person had ever been in a sense of betrayal, when he came back and when he saw Mary with that big pregnancy bump after the visitation, in which personally I don't think Joseph was present, because a lot of the things of the gospel wouldn't make sense if he were. When Mary came back from Ein Kerem, very pregnant, every simple question would have gone through his mind. It would have been so discordant with everything that he knew about Mary. And he loved her still, but he recognized that somebody else had to have been involved. And he didn't want her stoned to death. So mercifully, he wanted to give her freedom. And that's when the angel of God appeared. He was merciful to the Mother of Mercy, to the Queen of Mercy. And in so doing, he opened himself up much more to the plan of God's mercy from before the foundation of the world. That leads to the third part of Joseph's connection to mercy. He was chosen by God the Father to participate in the rescue mission, in that great mission of mercy that Jesus enfleshed. God gave Joseph the ability to announce the whole plan. Sure, it had been announced to him and Mary through the angel. But it was Joseph, when Jesus was circumcised, who said to the whole world, "This is Yahweh saves. His name is Jesus. God saves us. God is mercy. He's coming to our rescue." And in a sense, St. Joseph's continuation was always pointing to the salvation found in the little infant who would grow up to be his apprentice and who was always going to be his savior. Like St. Joseph, we have a share in that rescue mission, pointing to Yahweh who saves, and allowing that same Jesus to carry out his work of mercy through us. Fourth way we see mercy in the life of St. Joseph is that he was willing to sacrifice his life to save Jesus's. He put his life on the line to protect Jesus from Herod's henchmen, in order to save that mission of mercy, to allow it to continue. They fled into the desert of Egypt. That's more than just an escape route. It is rich biblical significance that Jesus was able to recapitulate the entire history of salvation by returning from Egypt, that place of slavery from which God had liberated in the Passover. Jesus had gone to that place of slavery and now was coming back to the promised land as, in a sense, a prophetic oath, this prophetic gesture, which would summarize all of salvation history. It was Joseph's own divinely inspired prudence who would lead Jesus there and back. He continues that work in the church, trying to lead us in participation with his foster son from slavery into freedom. St. Joseph is constantly intervening for this purpose. the patron of the church, guiding the whole church on this journey. But I also think that, again, I mean, if I were Pope in the first nanosecond, I would declare St. Joseph the patron saint of all pro-life work, same one who defended Jesus at such a young age, is the one to whom we should turn in all his strength to defend every child made in Jesus' image. Fifth way, St. Joseph, participate in God's mercy through the act of provision. You know, we talk about those corporal works of mercy, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, of caring for the ill, of clothing the naked. Those were all things he did for God in the flesh. Provided food by the calluses on his hand. His entire life, St. John Paul II said, is an epitome of the gospel of work, which is always a gospel of mercy. Whenever we're working, or we should be, out of mercy toward others. No matter what we do, somebody else is meant to benefit. Even if we're in a factory making stockings, at some point somebody's going to wear those stockings. And what we're doing is an act of love for whoever's going to wear them. Even if we're just offering up our work in a kitchen, somebody else is going to profit from that food. If we're cleaning this place behind an area that nobody will ever see, maybe we're saving somebody from those germs. Every little thing is meant to be part of the work of mercy towards somebody else, a real gift of self. And Jesus learned, according to his humanity, this type of work from St. Joseph. This type of diligent work in which everything was trying to be done as well as possible for the sake of those who would benefit from it. And he helps us to turn our work always into a work of mercy. Some of the times we can be alienated from our work. We can think, what big difference does this make? I would rather be doing this rather than that, because this seems insignificant compared to that other work, which I think is more condign for my own notion of the way the world needs to be helped or saved. But St. Joseph helped to save the world by hammering in nails, by planing wood, by sweeping up sawdust. How much we have to learn in the way that he made a carpenter shop into an exquisite temple where God was loved, praised, and adored. Another work of mercy we've been pondering quite a bit in the Year of Mercy leads us to the sixth point about St. Joseph. The first three spiritual works of mercy all have to do with teaching. We know that when Jesus' guts were exploding with compassion in the crowds, he sat them down and began to teach them. And St. Joseph was a teacher. He taught Jesus according to his humanity, not just a trade. He taught him the most important things according to his humanity. In Jewish custom, it was always the man of the house would lead the family in prayer. So St. Joseph would lead the sinless Virgin Mary and God himself in prayer in the home. Think about doing that. And how humbly he did it, even though no one was more conscious of his unworthiness. He did it. He was the one who would take Jesus to the synagogue. Mary had to sit in the back. It was with Joseph that Jesus was always present, as Joseph would explain the little parts of the rite. And Joseph would stand before him when, with a high-pitched child's voice, Jesus first, from right to left, was learning to praise the Lord with the very words of the Psalms that he had inspired. Joseph was the one who, as a man, would lead Jesus into the temple three times a year on pilgrimage. Joseph always prayed silently without fanfare. We don't have concrete images of Joseph praying. We know that he was a man of prayer in all of these ways. And likewise, Saint Joseph prays still, and I'll never cease giving him credit. And I hope one day you'll thank him just as much as I do, because he was the one to whom I had entrusted the most important attention when I was coming to New York, to have a place where I could really grow in faith, so that I wouldn't be alienated in the tough work of the United Nations, which is not exactly what I had signed up for when I was ordained. And after 5 days in Alabama, looking at him at a beautiful statue in the woods, holding that lily of chastity right at me, as soon as I get back, I think it was at 2 o'clock in the morning, that Sister Magdalene called me and asked. But as soon as I got back, he answered that prayer, and I always give him great credit for it. He prays for us still, out of mercy. And then the last act of mercy is in some ways his most important. He's the patron of a good death, of a death bathed in the mercy of God. He's the patron saint of a good death. Why? Because he died in the arms of Mary and Jesus. And when we pray to him for a good death, that's what we're praying for. The outstretched arms of God saves. And with the maternal caresses of the one to whom Catholics always turn, begging, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. Joseph leads us very humbly and quietly to Jesus and his mother. Ite ad Yosef, the Christians have said throughout the centuries, taking what Pharaoh said about the patriarch Joseph during the famine. Go to Joseph. And the church does. The word Joseph means, anybody know? Name Joseph. God will add. God will increase. And today we go to Joseph asking God to increase our devotion to him, so that like Mary and Jesus, we might come to love him for all his virtues, for all his justice, for all his mercy, like they did. He is, par excellence, the wise and the faithful servant whom the Lord has put in charge of his household, and at the end of his life, more than to anyone, Jesus was able to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come share your master's and your foster boy's joy as we prepare to receive now the same son he used to hold in his arms. As we prepare to be nourished by the divine child when his humanity was nourished by the work of Joseph's hands, let us go to Saint Joseph and ask him to intercede for us so that we might indeed receive what God wants to add. Receive Jesus here at this Mass with the same sentiments with which he would adore Jesus in the manger in Bethlehem and at the carpenter's table in Nazareth, so that through his intercession we might come through the grace of a happy death to adore that same mercy incarnate, that same God saves, that same Jesus with him, with Mary, with all the angels and saints. Let us go to Joseph. And Joseph will provide and protect and bring us to a son according to the law's eternal right side. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.